Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, radio listeners. Once again, this is Pastor Starling, Ola Starling, with the Anointed Word Ministries. I count it a blessing once again to be able to come into your home, to be with you for these minutes, praise God. And I still thank God, praise God, that you would allow me to do that. I pray God, praise God, that the word is spoken here today would be uplifting for you. It would be even something, praise God, it would be edifying for the listener, that you, praise God, can carry out, praise God, throughout the rest of your day, and that you, praise God, can go in and to research the word of God for yourself. Amen. This ministry, praise God, is brought to you by, praise God, Grandfather Christian High School, Landmark Realty, and Anointed Word Biblical College. Yes, I thank God, praise God, for that. Most of all, praise God, I would like to let you know, if you care, praise God, to donate to this ministry, you can do that, praise God, by going to gpchristian.com. And you can do your offering there, praise God, and through PayPal, as we do, praise God, whatever you give, it is what we could do, tax write-off. Praise God. We praise God, we thank God for you, because we realize, praise God, it's all about the Word of God. Yes, it's about the Word of God. And I would like to mention, praise God, as well, you can also donate, praise God, for the Domestic Deliverance and Progress Organization, praise God, that we also, praise God, operate in, that are helping those, praise God, that are in need, praise God, that are in, praise God, situations pertaining to domestic violence. Because, praise God, we know, praise God, that this is something, praise God, that is an overspread, outspread epidemic. And, praise God, we will do whatever we can. But we're asking you, praise God, that you would go, praise God, to that website, gpchristian.com, and donate $1. The $1, praise God, that we receive, we would use it, praise God, to assist families in need in domestic violence. Praise God. This is Pastor Sparks. And now, praise God, I just want to say a short prayer that we can go into the Word of God and praise God and hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church today. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, as I come to you today, Father, not of myself, but I come, praise God, to be used as a vessel for you. Praise God, that I may speak the word, praise God, enlighten on the truth. Praise God, that they may be hearing, those that are here, God, may be, praise God, edifying. To hear the word of God, knowing, praise God, that everything is going down but the word of God. Let your word speak life to that situation today. And Father God, I do give you praise and I give you glory. Asking you, Father God, if there's anyone, God, that not know you in the pardon of their sins, God, that they would invite you in, praise God, to let them know, Father, that you are the answer to every situation in ours and every answer that they, things that they need, and that you are the answer and you have the solution, praise God, because you, praise God, is the one, praise God, that can turn situations around in their life. And God, I appreciate you today. Father God, let them, praise God, receive you, accept you, praise God, as that personal Savior, repenting of all the unrighteousness. God, that you may come in and sit with them and they with you. They will become your people. You become their God. Father, I'm grateful and I thank you for it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And praise God, today we're talking about the 10 principles of success in a relationship. We have been talking about, praise God, in this broadcast, journeying into. We're journeying into something, praise God. Every time we come together, we're journeying. Meaning, praise God, we don't stop. We continue. We'll continue to push and to press. Praise the Lord. And praise God, we're talking about today, journeying to, praise God, the 10 principles of a successful relationship. And during this time, praise God, we're just going to talk about, because in this relationship, we're trying to get, praise God, we may call it, get into closeness with God. I mean, journey into an intimacy with God, getting to know him personally, getting to know who he is, what he can do, because he's not a liar. If he said it, he will do it. Praise God, building a relationship with the Lord. And today, praise God, we're going to be talking about prayer and building a relationship through the 10 principles of God. And as we know, praise God, a successful relationship starts, praise God, with God through prayer. Yes, through prayer. And praise God, we know, praise God, God has given us guides, praise God, that will lead us and be teaching us how we can build that relationship with him. And today, praise God, we look for everything to try to build a relationship, but we have everything we need is in the Word of God. And those 10 principles, praise God, that we will be talking about and expounding upon is the Ten Commandments that sums up what God has to say about having a relationship with him and other people. Amen. And praise God, the way we start that off, praise God, because we realize, praise God, God started it off, praise God, because he told the people, praise God, his people before us, he said to them, and what he said to one, he said to all, according to Exodus 19, 5 and 6, he said, God said, if they would obey and keep his covenant, they will be kings, they will be of a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. We shouldn't have to be struggling to and fro, pulling here and there, because he has given us the instruction how to build this relationship. And if we learn, praise God, to walk in the way of the Lord and do what God has already put before us, he has already laid the blueprint, praise God, then we would have, praise God, I think, praise God, we would have better situation, better things going on in our home, in our lives, with our children, with our family. But when any time a nation turned their back on God, we can look to have, praise God, we can look to have, praise God, you know, repercussions. Just we got to do it because, first of all, we are doing things our way and not God's way. And he said in my people, if they would just keep his covenant, they would be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now, you see, the Israelites were ought to be the kingdom of the priests and a holy nation, okay? But nevertheless, praise God, God is saying the 10 principles for a successful relationship, and these are the 10 commandments, okay? Now, the first four of these commandments, praise God, I was trying to reveal to you that to have a relationship with God, and the last six tells how to have a successful relationship with people. Because the first commandment is the first one because it's so important, because he said to us, you shall have no other God before me. What does that mean? It means to have no other God. Simple as that. What is a God? Anything that you put before God is your God, your money, your car, your home, your education, your business, your children, your husband, whoever, and, you know, that's it. It's a God to you. Because if it comes first, then it's your God. And this is why he was saying, he said, the most important principle is to the relationship is to put God first. We must put him first in our families, finances, career schedules, however. And I know that we fall short to that. But God is a God of a forgiving God. He concentrates God. He constantly pleads with us. He's not one to just throw you away and never give you a chance because he's a God of a second chance. And the Ten Commandments, you see, praise God, any other scripture will help you and help us to be a have a successful relationship. We must apply them to our lives. This is how we get a relationship started. It takes, praise God, it takes work. It takes principles to build. And this is what he was saying to us. You need, praise God, to know what you need to do to get that relationship. And the relationship is, first of all, get into the Word of God, get a relationship with him, seek him daily. The second one, praise God, is the Ten Commandments. It's closely related, but he tells us, he said at first he tells us who we are to worship. And now he tells us, praise God, secondly, tell us how to worship. Yes, we've been talking about last night, praise God, that God spoke on a God-called kind of worship, not a corrupted worship, because he wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. And this is why he said, you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven, above, on the earth, beneath it, in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. This commandment doesn't forbid using pictures and objects and things like that to aid in teaching Sunday school or something like that. It does not. But he was saying when you make it the first priority, anything you make first priority over the things of God, then it becomes a God, an idol God to you. This is what he's saying. You don't need to try to put things to try to draw me to you. I have given you what I have want you to have to come to me. Come to me, worship me, spirit and truth. Use my word, pray to me, connect to me. Amen. This is why he's saying I need you to connect to me. Not the images of me, but to connect to me. Praise the Lord. Then he also said, if you seek anything, you know, in happiness in the Lord and not in bringing God, you will give me my heart's desire. See, if I do everything God tells me to do, and it's not hard. It's just being obedient. He said, if you first seek you the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, all these other things I will give unto you. I will add it to you. So the second commandment he was saying to us, You should not make to yourself no idol. No idol, no idol God. Whatever it might be, you put everything before God. You shall not bow down or to them or worship them. The third thing he said, for a few, please praise God. He said, now, a few things reveal people's moral values, like his or her language. The language in America becomes increasingly, you know, becomes increasingly vague. And then, but he said, but now you must be still. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Oh, my God, Jesus. The word translated misuse means vain, mean empty, insecure, you see. This means God's name is never to be used in careless ways. Oh, my Jesus, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, because we do. We do that. But he says we should not do it, and we do. We are all ready to use God's name carefully and lovingly. You know, everybody uses the Lord's name now. Everybody, the rap singers, the street, everybody uses it. Everybody. Everybody that's calling God's name out in certain situations, how is that connected to God? The penalty for misusing God's name is found, you know, at least in the phrase of the commandment, for the Lord will not hold anyone guilty. He said the Lord will not hold anyone guilty for misusing his name. Everyone, see, he said this here now, every one of us will be held accountable for misusing God's name. You can use it if that's what you want to do, but you will be held accountable for it. You will be held accountable for how you use the Lord's name in vain. Because the fear of using the Lord's name now is not even, it's not even edible. I mean, people just use it whenever they feel like it, whenever they want to say something. They'll curse 1 minute, and then they'll use the Lord's name to connect to the cursing they're doing. Speech is one of God's greatest gifts to us. But we must not use the Lord's name with in vain. It must not be used in vain. In Matthew, it says, Matthew 6:9, this is what he said. God's name, how God tells us to pray. We pray, praise God, in the name of our Father in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. We must hallow that name, not misuse that name. The next one is the fourth commandment. This is perhaps, praise God, the longest, praise God, and perhaps the most misunderstood of all of the commandments. God said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it for holy. The word Sabbath means rest. Every 7 days, God wants us to take a day of what? Rest. It is for our benefit. He wants us to rest. He said in Mark 2:27, he said, the Sabbath was made for man. Hey, Jesus. Not man for the Sabbath. I'll say that again. The Lord declared, and it is written, he said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The purpose of the Sabbath is to prevent us from being burned out. Yes, it is a day to rest and worship, as well as spiritual and physical refreshment. You see, this is what he's saying. God cares about us. He cares about the whole man. He's just not so, praise God, concerned. He said, I am concerned about you. I am concerned about you. Everything that concerns you, God, is he's concerned about you. He cares for you just like that. And he said, the purpose of the Sabbath in Mark, he said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Then he goes on to say, praise God, in Corinthians, praise God, Corinthians 1:16-2, he said, one on the first day of the week, I am to set aside a sum of money in keeping with my income, set it aside. Jesus rose up and he was telling us, praise God. See, one thing we have to understand, God knows everything about us. There is nothing, praise God, that is secret that he do not know. He said, praise God, he said, I want you to rest and I want you to put, but he said, but on the Christian Sabbath is to say it's Sunday, the first day of the week. Why? Jesus rose from the dead and the first appeared to him with his disciples on the first day of the week. And that was in Acts. And the disciples came together to break bread on the first day of the week. And according to 1 Corinthians 16:2, it is what is a part to be part of a Christian Sabbath. The Lord says, set aside money, praise God, your income. That we are to honor God on the Sabbath by keeping it holy. The word holy means set apart or different. This is what he said. Simple. Did we make it so hard? It's not hard. It's not hard at all. But when we try to do it in our own self and do it within, praise God, not the way the Lord has already set forth for it to be carried out, it seems to be hard because that's what we choose. That's the human nature. We want to do things our way. But he said, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the way thereof is of death and destruction. This is why he's saying, I've given you the commandments to follow. The few things we can help us in our relationship with God and people, like regular, is rest. Sometimes, praise God, we don't get rest. We lunch out at other people. We do things, praise God, out of the ordinary. We do all kinds of things because the body is tired. We need to rest the body. And sometimes taking a day of rest or vacation is most spiritual thing we can do because God can use you. He can't even speak to you. If you're so tired and you're so in so many knots and so much stress, he can't even get through to you. The fifth commandment, he said, out of the four commandments, he tells us to have a successful relationship with God. And the last six would tell us how to have a successful relationship with people. A healthy relationship begins in the home. It begins in the home. Because he said the commandment, praise God, was just a human relationship. This is why he tells the children and each and every one how to honor our father and our mother so that we may have what? Long life in the land. The Lord, your God, giveth you. The word honor means, you know, to hold in the highest esteem. But today in our generation, praise God, the children today do not respect the parents, even to the elderly, even to the widows. They do not respect adults anymore. God commanded us to honor and to obey our parents because parents usually have the best interest of the children. Now, most of us won't be here if we have been allowed to disobey our parents. I thank God for my mother. And I thank God for the things, praise God, that she planted in my life. I praise God for my mother. So this is what the Lord was saying. He give you relationship, how to have a relationship. Many people want to go and consult, praise God, relationship experts. Your expert treaty is the word of God. Everything you need is in the book. It's in the word. It is found in the word. And the second way we should honor our parents by keeping in touch with them after they leave home. Sometimes, praise God, that today, praise God, children don't have time for their parents and the elderly ones. They want to put them in a nursing home. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, you can do that. Go visit your parents. Show still, let them know you love them. Be there for them. But today we're finding, praise God, children are just saying they're divorcing their parents. We need to share our lives with them and listen to what they have to say. The Bible teaches us that we have to treat our parents especially and special when they are old and can't help us anymore. Don't diss them. Don't throw them away. Love them. Love them because they are our parents. If I don't provide for my family, this is what he said. This is what he said. In 1 Timothy 5 and 8, he declared the fact that if you don't provide for your family and I deny the faith that I am worth, then you're not even better than an unbeliever. You're worse than an infidel. You don't even have, praise God, the knowledge to know how to treat with your parents and know the relationship. See, we want to find relationships on the TV, on the computer, in the books, you know, paying people to consult with us. And the ones that are talking to you have more problems than you do. They have more problems than you could imagine. They're having problems in their relationship. What can they do for you? You're going there talking to them about your situation. They're sitting there looking at you saying, look at me. Here I am, and I'm talking to myself. I'm laying here on the couch. They're talking to you, and they're looking at their own thoughts. Why can't you go back to the book? Trust the word of God. God tells us how to be a relationship and have healthy relationships. He tells us that. He shows us how to do it. He left the blueprint so that we can follow through the map. To know, praise God, our relationship, healthy relationship comes from God. If we would do it and follow through with the word of God, we wouldn't have as many problems as we have. So we must go to God, praise God. And that's why I said today, praise God, let us pray, praise God, for those, praise God, that do not know the Lord. because we must understand the only way you can get to the Lord, you can't drive up to his house. You can't even knock on his door. But you can get to him through the word. The Bible declared, praise God. You see, God is never asleep. He never slumbers nor sleeps. And we must understand through prayer, praise God, we can touch God at the very hem of his garment. We must have a prayer life with the Lord. We must be able to touch him through prayer. We must be able, praise God, to move God in prayer. We must be able to move God in prayer. You see, Jesus had a prayer life. He devoted himself to prayer. The Bible declared very early in the morning, long before daylight, God, Jesus would get up and go, praise God, and he would leave the house. He went out to another town, to a lonely place where he could pray. In Mark 1 and 35, he was at prayer frequently on such occasion, praise God, because he knew, praise God, how to go to God in prayer. He knew, praise God, he knew the Father, he knew that, but he needed to go to him in prayer. So if Jesus prayed, what about you and I? When he came up out of the baptism water, he prayed. When he faced temptation in the wilderness, he prayed. Before he chose the 12 to train the disciples, after sending out the 7 of the believers in mission, he prayed. When he touched, praise God, someone to heal, he prayed. Praise the Lord. At the time of his transfiguration, he prayed. As he approached his passion in Jerusalem, he prayed. While, praise God, he was introducing the Lord's Supper to his disciples, guess what? He prayed. When he was in Gethsemane preparing for the betrayal of his death, he prayed. Praise the Lord. He had a prayer life, praise God. When he was, praise God, when he was being nailed to the cross in excruciating pain, as he died, the last words he prayed to his Father, praise God. He prayed to his Father, praise God. He didn't sit and moan. He prayed. After he was resurrected from those who believed in him, he prayed. Praise the Lord. What am I saying? At every point of his life, Jesus prayed. He prayed. He had a relationship with the Father. To build a relationship, we must be connected. We must be intimacy there. We can go to God and talk to him about whatever, whenever, however. We need to be able to go to God. But at that point of his life, Jesus prayed. Jesus found outside. He was found outside, praise God. The gospel says, in his life on earth, Jesus made his prayers and requests with loud cries and tears to God, who could save him from death because he was devoted and humble. God heard him. But even though he was God's son, he learned through his suffering to be what? Obedient. If we would praise God, go back to the old landmark, go back to where we first found the Lord, getting into his presence, seeking him daily, talking, communicating with him daily. He said, and praise God, in Hebrews 5 and 7, the Lord's prayer are certainly the most widely used of all the Christians that pray. Matthew 6, 9, and 13, the greatest prayer of John. John elaborates on 17 things that got said in the Lord's Prayer. But you must understand one thing, people. The secret to a strong spiritual relationship and being able to use the 10 principles of getting intimacy with God is to have a strong prayer spiritual life. The life begins with praying, and praying begins with learning. Yes, prayer begins with learning. To first breathe in awareness of God and his awesomeness and his wonders, we must stop our rushing and be still. We must stop our rushing and be still. We must think of God instead of ourselves. We go to God, God, I need. Go to God and worship. Go to God, praise God, seeking him. Praise God, just loving on him. Father, I thank you, God. I give you praise today for life. I thank you, Lord, for meeting my every need. I thank you, Father God, because you kept me, praise God, when the enemy tried to snatch me out. Father God, you kept me. You set my feet on a solid rock. When the devil desired to kill me, Father God, you saved me. You got so much to be thankful to God for. We must learn, praise God, to go to God thanking him, not begging him. Holy Ghost, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, 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 yeah. Thank you, Jesus. We must stop our rushing and be still. Think of God instead of ourselves. We can take in of his resources and strength. The scripture says, be still and know that I'm God. You got to first get to him and try to get in his presence so we can be still. And to get in his presence, you must go through him in prayer. Jesus, thank you, Lord. That I, he said, that I, you may know who I am. I want you to know that I'm God. And Psalms 46 and 10. Write these scriptures down that you may read it for yourself. Spiritual breathing begins within healing. Even natural breathing begins within healing. Spiritual breathing begins within healing. Bring within ourselves the awareness of God. You must be aware that he is. You must be. That you will need to be. Isaiah reminded his people that if they were only full and aware of God, his natural presence and the power, then everything they did would be different. Isaiah 40, 28 through 41 and 1. Thank you, Jesus. You must be aware that he is. Do you know? Do you know? How not? Have you heard? The Lord is everlasting God, the creature of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired. He doesn't get tired. We get tired and worn out. But he will not grow tired or weary. And his understanding, no one can fathom. We can't even fathom. Jesus, he never gets tired. He said, I never slumber nor sleep. If you call upon me, I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. But we have to get in that position to call him that he may know us by thy voice. He said, my people, did say, they know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. You got to know the voice of God, and he waits to hear your voice. He gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. And thou, when I am weak, thou made strong. We must know, praise God, that the word of God goes to stand, will stand. Everything is going down but the word. Praise God, men are running to and fro, looking for an easy word, looking for a word that sounds great to the itching ears. But let me explain to you, my friend, that the word of God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore, and it does not change. He does not change to fulfill your fantasy, to make your flesh feel good because you want to hear a good word. But the thing we need to be advised about is to know to hear the right word and God's word. Amen. Because that's what's going to carry you through, the word of God. We have gotten away from it because right now, praise God, everybody's doing what they think they ought to do, how they think they should do it, what we must do, what we think we ought to do, think what we should have done. But we need to go back and do it the way the Lord laid the blueprint. He said, preach the word in season, out of season, when they want to hear it, when they don't want to hear it. Even though the youth try, he's not tired. He don't stumble. He don't fall. But those who hope is in the Lord will be renewed. They will be renewed. They said they will soar up on the wing, soar up like wings, like an eagle. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Be silent before me. A true awareness of God results in silence. And when you become aware of God, listen to me, praise God. When you become aware of God, what is in the front of your mind is no longer the crisis of your urgent matter that was propelling you into God's presence. Instead, your mind is now focused on God and his glory and his grace. So start thinking of God's will, his plan and his passion of the world. He has already become. Listen to me. Jesus, he has already become a different person. As a result, you go forth no longer relying on your strength and power, but go in the strength of God. God is waiting for you. The awareness of God enables us. Spiritual breathing begins within healing and brings within ourselves the wonders of God. We have no knowledge of ourselves and the ordinance and the wonders at being in the presence of God. Too many of us want to be nanny with God. We rush into his presence as if we have every right and full of ourselves and our needs. with a flip plan. Good day, good God. We now have no sense and awareness of his wonders. No, we do not. But we must understand, people, praise the Lord. We must understand that he is, praise God, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. The 10 principles, praise God, of being in a relationship with God. Get into the word of God. Use the blueprint and pray. Have a lifestyle of prayer that will connect you into an intimacy with God through your walk in the Lord. I pray, God, praise God, that you were blessed here today. I thank God, praise for you, you, and you. And praise God, I'm asking you, praise God, to consider, praise God, to supporting the ministry. But I want you to know that I'm praying for you. Praise God, if you have a prayer request, you may send it to gpchristian.com. And praise God, we will pray, praise God, because I love to pray. Praise God, because through prayer, things happen. You be blessed, and remember that this is Miss Minister Starling coming to you, praise God, from Anointed Word Ministries, and know one thing, that Jesus, and he cares for you. He loves you just where you are, but he wants to change you, praise God, that you may know, praise God, him in the pardon of your sins. Know, praise God, that he's yet saving. And when we are lost in wonder, love, and praise, then we can start to pray. Prayer does not start with asking, but with wonderness and awareness of God. Prayer does not start with wanting. It does not start with wanting people, but with waiting and wondering. Prayer does not start with us, but with God. You be blessed. And remember, Jesus loves you where you are, but he wants to change your fate. God bless you. Until this time, next Saturday, you have a God-filled day. Be blessed. Goodbye.